love movie reviews.
And what better than our good friend, Mr. Paul Preston.
Paul!
Hey-o.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, there he is.
Oh, he's in the tunnel. He's got that echo going on.
Yeah,
that we had it.
He's going through the Malibu tunnel.
Yeah. So...
Yeah. Hey, that thing's happening again where I can't hear anything over my music.
No, you're good.
How about now?
You're good.
Can you not hear it now?
Steve, remember when I was you for a couple of weeks? That was fun.
Yeah.
But I do have to tell the general public, never be Steve. Never do it. You can't come back. There's no recovery.
There's no recovery.
Yeah, once you do, Steve, there's no relief.
Oh, no relief inside. There's no cure. There's no vaccine for it.
Once you cut,
yeah,
catch
it, everyone's like, give me the vaccine. Yeah.
Like, I'll take that one now.
Yeah.
So what do you got for us, buddy?
Well, an interesting take this week. Instead of just talking about movies that came out in the theater, I wanted to talk about a cool experience I had. I don't know if you're aware of the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures, but the Motion Picture Academy. Yeah, the folks behind the Oscars, they've been wanting to open this museum to celebrate movies for years. And they were like last year, hey, let's open it. COVID. So nothing. It was pushed about a year and change, but finally opened Thursday.
Oh,
I mean, as soon as I heard about it,
cool.
I signed up. I was like, because I'm the movie guy. So I got myself a year membership. And so they had a member preview thing on Wednesday that I went to. Uh-huh. So, I have a full report on that because it's hard to believe we haven't had this. You know, we have things like the Hollywood Entertainment Museum, you know, which is in the old Max Factor building in Hollywood. It's got a bunch of, you know, stuff in it, but it's really not the epicenter for the history of movies in Hollywood.
True. But, I mean, they got some cool stuff there, but yeah, I understand what you mean, though.
Yeah, and this has cool stuff, too, but it does go beyond Planet Hollywood, thankfully, you know, to really celebrate how movies are made, the history of movies more than any other of the places that just have memorabilia. Now, of course, when the Academy comes called and you get like the real E.T. puppet, you know, you get the real Anthony Daniels C-3PO outfit and the real R2-D2 and the real facial prosthetics from Terminator and the real 2001 spacesuit and the models of the spaceships and all that stuff. So there's one room that's probably going to be everybody's highlight that has all that stuff and Lord of the Rings stuff and Okoye's outfit from MCU and Adam's Family and Batman Returns miniatures. And so that's like the blockbuster room, and that's going to be a big hit for everybody.
What was your favorite thing that you saw at the museum?
Well, I can't deny that in that same room, just off of it, is a 25-minute movie put together by Ben Burtt. If you know Ben Burtt, the legendary sound effects guy who created like all the Star Wars sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
And went on to do sound effects and sound design for like all the blockbusters, including like how Wall-E talks, you know. So he's been doing it forever. And he put together a 25-minute movie just about the history of fantasy and sci-fi movies. And it's not like... In Hollywood, we've created that's just scenes. And you just sit there going, I love this movie. I love that movie too. Oh, my God, I love that movie. I love that movie. What is this movie? I don't know this one. It's like three screens all sort of sometimes working together, sometimes showing different stuff.
That's kind of
overwhelming, but it's great. You know, I really enjoyed that. It's interesting because it's kind of a cold and industrial museum as soon as you go in, like it's a lot of glass and steel. But then when you go into an exhibit, well, then it warms up and becomes movie time. So that's a little transition you got to kind of get used to. But the only thing sort of enlivening out in the lobby is a huge Bruce the Shark from Jaws.
Oh,
wow.
They made, if you don't know, Bruce is the name of the shark from Jaws because Spielberg named it after his lawyer.
Right.
And there were four of them. Three of them have burned up over time in fires and things. But there was one, and I think it was in a garage, like in the valley somewhere, like Sun Valley. The guys just had it, you know. And so you could kind of go and maybe look over a fence and take a peek of it. And so I think the museum finally went, this needs – it belongs in a museum. So it's now there hanging up, and it looks pretty cool. So
it does take someone doing that to get things done.
Yeah.
Someone's picking up. This belongs in a museum. Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're like the number one authority for motion pictures in the country, I mean, you're going to throw that weight around. So, yeah, they got everything. Another cool display is this backdrop. They have an area devoted to backdrops. Like, you know, back in the day, we wouldn't have digital backgrounds, clearly. We'd have matte paintings sometimes, but sometimes you had like just a floor to ceiling 25 foot tall back painted back. And so they have one there that's of Mount Rushmore from North by Northwest. I thought that was a pretty cool.
Oh, whoa.
Just to see the size of it, you know, oh, this is cool. And then, you know, you reveal it. And you also, this is super fake. But then when you watch the movie, you know, of course, you give it a pass because it's 1964. Mm-hmm. And God bless Hitchcock for just thinking big, you know.
Hey, like,
that's one of the great action sequences of all time. And it's, you know, and it's 50 years old or whatever. So,
hey, Paul, real quick, I don't know if you mentioned it or not, and maybe I don't know if I missed it, but you said you became a member of this, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can you let us know how much it costs to be a member for this? And is there also a separate price for the general public?
I think it's $25 to get in.
Oh, that's not bad.
But it's $100 and you're a member for the year. So when people come to visit, I'm taking them there, and you know, I want to go with them, and they're going to change the exhibits. Like right now, they have I'm probably going to butcher his name, but Hayao Miyazaki, the guy who made Spirited Away. They have a big display on him in one of the upper floors, and Pedro Almodovar as well made an exhibit of his films. But those will probably change out, you know, maybe in a year or two that swaps out to be something else, you know. So that's going to be kind of cool reason to keep going back. Now, charter member that I picked at $100 is stuff, but I'll get invites to screenings and special stuff, and I can just walk in the museum anytime I want. So I was like, yes.
That's not bad. $100, that's not bad at all. That is really, really good.
Yeah,
you know.
I think that's what I paid.
Well, yeah.
Hope I didn't lead everybody straight to sir. But anyway.
Either way, check it out, because, I mean, to me, that's kind of worth it, you know, and it's kind of like, because, like, since I'm a member of the Grammys, I get to go to the museum also for a particular price, and I love going back there every so often, because, like you said, they change out things there as well, or they got certain events going on, so I can almost imagine this is going to be very much the same, but dealing with, you know, movies and films and the Academy Awards and, you know, all those wonderful things that we've seen through the history of film. So, to me, I mean, that's worth it right there.
Yeah, and I remember when Clive Davis did a Q&A at the Grammy Museum, and I was like, well, how often are you going to see something like that? So that's a good time to be a member. And I'm sure there'll be special film screenings, or when there are film screenings, you know, the members get first dibs on tickets or something. There's more perks. The truth is, I bought this thing like a year and a half ago, so I'm forgetting what the.
Wow.
I'm like, it's going to open in September. Cut to the following September.
Uh-huh.
Yay! You know, but.
Awesome, man.
So that's pretty cool. We're highly recommended. It's right next to LACMA and what's becoming like a museum central. It's across from the Peterson Automotive Museum, just down the street from the Tar Pits. It's like museum central.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and they revamped that whole building, and, you know, they're building more. Train stops down there as well. So, and with that, they're going to build more retail and shops and restaurants. So that whole area of Miracle Mile, Wilshire, is going to revitalize itself with all sorts of.
We can just like go over to the Anaheim or the Fullerton station here, and then just take it on in.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool to do.
Yeah, so highly recommended, and it's open now. So
awesome!
Go check that out.
Awesome! Can't wait to go.
Yeah, and I got 5 more minutes. I can tell you about a movie I saw, and you guys can, I'm sure you have an opinion on this. I went to see Respect, the Aretha Franklin biopic.
I haven't seen it yet. What is your take on it?
Well, it's as good as they can be at showing her life, as well as the movie can be put together. You can't follow the same biopic tropes that were already upended by Dewey Cox. You know, like Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, like 15 years ago or whenever that came out.
Yeah.
Like biopics have there's such a cookie cutter. Like I thought, well, certainly Aretha Franklin didn't have, that bad manager. Yep. Well, certainly she didn't get involved in drugs. Yep. Well, certainly she wasn't. It didn't have infidelity. Yeah. Like she had everything these other movies have. So when they happen, and I'm not that fascinated with it anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's a there's a road these movies go down. And also you find out that, man, I love Ray Charles. I'm going to go see this movie. And you find out Ray Charles was a huge asshole, or Johnny Cash was a jerk, yeah. or Jimi Hendrix was an idiot. And like, now it's like Aretha is a jerk too. You know, they all, most of the time they have like redemption stories, but still you just have to wallow through these horrible times of your favorite people and how awful they were. And it's rough. So I enjoyed it, but a lot of it was familiar just because that's how musical biopics are now. They have to hit these signposts of, an inflated ego that destroys all the relationships. Check, you know, right. So.
How did Jennifer Hudson do?
She's good. Is it weird, though, that I kind of go, she's American Idol, and I got to dismiss her? Is that bad? She's like a Tony away from being an EGOT, and I'm still like, she's American Idol. I don't know. I have a chip on my shoulder about that stupid show, and I know, like, Brad Garrett came from Star Search or Sinbad, too, you know, so, yeah. And I love those guys, but something about...
So did Britney Spears, for that matter.
What's that?
So did Britney Spears, for that matter.
See, no, that's not helping.
Well, you know, there is a propensity for everybody, when referring to the people that came to those shows, of going overboard about how great they are.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, today, I can't watch those shows. Half the singers on there, and you would know this, Sean, is singing from a place where they don't have the experience to give the lyrics they're singing any meaning.
Right.
You know, so it's just like, how can I over-sing this to impress the judges technically? And it's like, but if you just were attached to words more, I'd be more impressed. So anyway, that's a whole other thing. But, I mean, Jennifer Hudson's good in the movie. And maybe I just am, like, not happy that she's so good in everything. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just bitter that she came from American Idol and screw that show, but she then is great. And I'm like, okay, she's great. Like, I had a long road of that with Justin Timberlake. Mm. You know, NSYNC guy, pretty boy, stick it out of here. And then he's like hilarious, and then he's like dramatic, and then he does everything
He's a talented dude.
Screw him too, but he's good, you know.
He's a talented guy, yeah.
Yeah, but you got Marlon Wayans doing another good dramatic turn in this, and Mark Maron's great as Jerry Wexler.
Nice.
He's a standout.
In your opinion, wrapping it up, Paul, do you think that this is as good as, let's say, Rocket Man, or as good as... Bohemian Rhapsody, or is it more along of what was portrayed in the movie Ray, about Ray Charles?
Yeah, they're all kind of the same, except for Bohemian Rhapsody. As not great a movie as Bohemian Rhapsody sometimes was, a little clunky and cheesy, but just going out on top in Live Aid like they did, like, no movie does that. No movie says, here's 15 minutes of them being at the absolute top of their game, and we're not going to end with the drug fallout, or even show you, or in this case, you know, we're not going to show you Freddie's death. We're just going to keep them on top of the world and end the movie. I was like, whoa, that was good. I loved that. You don't see that, you know? You see... them either you see Amadeus being thrown in a ditch in a pauper's grave, you know, Hank Williams dying. It's like, so I don't know. I might put Bohemian Rhapsody a little higher up than this one. This is more along the lines of Ray. You know, Ray won an Oscar too. You know, what do I know? I just think they're all a little familiar. And the next biopic I see, I want it to just be way off. You know what? That's why I like Jersey Boys. Jersey Boys caught a lot of flack for being a crap movie, but I said, look.
I don't know. I liked it.
I haven't seen a musical biopic about guys dealing with gangsters.
And that was directed by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, and he's a solid director. So,
yeah.
You know, the one thing I missed there, of course, were joyful musical numbers. We finally got one, like, in the end credits. Mm-hmm. But at least it was something different. I watched it and went, this is new, so I'll take that. So if you're doing a musical biopic, if it's somebody I love, I may avoid it just because I don't want to know they were a tremendous asshole. Mm-hmm. But I may see it if you promise something new. So that's what I want.
Got it. Well, Paul, it is always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. And again, thank you for coming in last month and being Steve for 2 weeks in a row.
Of course.
And
my pleasure.
And next time,
all right, till the next weird thing.
Exactly. All right, brother. Take care.
Bye, Paul.